Bless you. Can we give God a shout of praise in the house tonight? I mean, this morning. Come on. We're just so honored to be here. Wasn't worship amazing this morning? There's such a sweet spirit in the Lord. You know, what's amazing today is that, you know, we have a couple here. They drove 5 hours to get to church. All the way from Stacy. And you guys, how far? Where do you guys live?
Nebraska.
That's a long way to go to church. Yeah, they drove all the way just to see you, you know. You know, I'm just so blessed to have them and all of you that came. This is going to be an amazing week. I was sitting there kind of laughing because last year, he wasn't my son-in-law yet, you know, but he's my son-in-law now, you know, praise God. And I just remember, you know, I have to tell you a funny story while we were here last year. What happened was because my beautiful daughter, Leilani, couldn't find a wedding dress, so they went all over Kansas City. Couldn't find a wedding dress, you know. And so finally, Leilani said, "Mom, will you sew me a dress?" And so long story short, Leilani won, you know. And so, but that dress went to 7 states, praise Jesus. She was sewing it. And I told my son-in-law when they went out shopping, I said, "David, don't go." Because they told you they'd be back in 45 minutes. And we have to go to church tonight. 6 hours later, they all came in. And it looked like my son-in-law had been in a war. And I told you to stay with me in the hotel. But we're just so honored. It's going to be an amazing time. Before I share the word, I want to introduce my beautiful wife, Meliana. Give her a hand as she comes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Again, it's such a joy, such a privilege for us to be back here. Can't wait to hear God's word, but it's always a joy. So love you guys, Pastor Dennis and Karen. We love you guys. And it's such a joy to see JC, Pastor JC, and your beautiful wife. I tell you what, I watch a video that you guys have put up, and I laugh and laugh and laugh because I was thinking, this is just so Pastor Dennis. There's a part in it. It was just so cute when you guys put it together. But it is wonderful. Just have fun in church. Amen. Praise God. And I can't wait because I know God is going to do great things this week. And there is a word that I believe that God has laid in my heart that I love telling story because I believe that God want us to believe what his word says. Thank you again for sharing about the book. Honey, in fact, we have a lot of CDs and DVDs and books, but we have only one book left. This book is back out there, and how to develop a prophetic culture. Because our desire is not only to see the pastor or the leaders or the prophets prophesy God's word. God's desire is for all of us to speak his word, prophesy his word. Amen? Because his word says in the last days he will pour out his spirit and your sons and your daughter shall prophesy. That doesn't mean we only come to church. I've seen a lot of people can't wait to get to church to prophesy toward each other. No, God's desire for you and I not only prophesy at church, but prophesy at home, at work, at school, or wherever God placed you. Amen? That doesn't mean you walk up to your friends at work and said, "Hey, thus saith the Lord." No, they'll run. They'll look at you. What's wrong with you? What it means when you see a situation that does not line up with God's word, you will speak the mind of God toward the situation. In other words, speak life to the situation and watch God do his part. Amen? Job 22:28, it says, "Make a decision and decree a thing, and then the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways." Amen? How many says favor? Everybody says this morning, favor. Don't you want God's favor to shine on your situation? Then speak life into it. Amen. You do your part, and God will do his part. A couple weeks ago, John and I, we were ministering in the Dallas, Texas area. And I remember on our way to church, I received a text from a good friend of ours. This lady, her and her husband live in Tucson, Arizona. They have three little kids, young couple. And I remember we were in their area in December, and she texted me. She said, Meliana, I saw that you guys are here in our area. Can you guys come over for lunch at our house? We just bought a beautiful home, brand new home. I want you guys to come and have lunch with us and see our home. So we got in a car, went into their place, had lunch with them, saw their house, beautiful home, two-story home, gated pool. It's just gorgeous. But then 2 weeks ago, I got a text from her. I was so sad when I saw the text because this is what the text said. She said, Meliana, please, can you and John pray for me? I'm here in Mexico. I'm stuck here. I've been here for weeks. I flew over here, have an appointment with the immigration for her paperwork. And for to stay here in the U.S. legally. And they denied my application. And I've been here, staying here, and it has been so hard. Because I'm here, and my husband is in Tucson, Arizona, with their children, three little kids. Please, can you guys pray for me? And I tell you what, I felt so sad when I read the text. So I didn't call her back. I didn't text her back. I got on my phone and called her to Mexico. And I remember when the phone was ringing, it has a different ringing. And I knew I was calling international because the way the phone rang. And I was, oh, my goodness. But then all of a sudden she picked up the phone and she was on the other line. She was literally crying on the phone. I asked her what's going on. She said they denied, they wanted some more paperwork, and I presented to them, and I've been waiting. They never get back to me, so I called them, and they said, you just have to wait. And then while we were talking, and I don't know if you know some people that are dealing with the immigration, you're talking about weeks, not only weeks, or months, or even years, how long it's going to take for them. So while I was talking, all of a sudden, the scripture that I just mentioned to you, I remember it. Then I said to Marisol, Marisol, listen, you cannot afford to cry on the phone. We have to decree favor on your situation. Amen. We have to speak life over your situation. We have to prophesy over your situation. So I started praying and I said, God, I thank you that you are going to release favor on Melisol's situation. Lord, I pray that you pick up her paperwork and put it on the top and put it in front of the right person. I pray, oh God, that you put a stamp of approval on her paper today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. It has to be done today because she has to be back to Tucson, Arizona with her family. She has three little children that they need their mother. Pray, prophesy, decree favor on her situation. Right after then, I said, Melisol, I can't do anything. You can't do anything. But we can cry out to God. We can prophesy and decree favor according to what he said upon your situation. You and I have to come in agreement with what his word says. And she said, yes, Meliana, thank you. Hung up the phone. That was it. We went to church, had a powerful, great time at church that night. After the service, we got on the car, followed the pastor. We have to go to dinner that night. And on our way to the restaurant that night, I got a text message from Melisol again. Then I look up and I open up the text on my phone, and this is what it says. Meliana, I just got approved. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I believe God looked down. Look at my daughter. She come in agreement with what I said in my word. She did not come in agreement with the system. After all, our immigration system is broken. She did not come in agreement with the system. The system said you have to wait weeks, months, and years. But she did. But she came in agreement with what I said in my word. God, I believe God looked down. I'm going to step in and do favor in the situation, because my daughters just speak life and prophesy over the situation. That's why I want to encourage you. If you are facing a crisis, a situation, stop coming in agreement with your crisis or your situation. Come in agreement with what he said over your situation. In other words, God says decree favor and watch God step in and stamp favor in your situation. Amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. How many are ready for the word of God? How many are ready for the word of God? Is this a Pentecostal word of faith, charismatic church? I thought so. I thought I was in the right place this morning. I was just checking. But ladies and gentlemen, as Meliana was sharing that testimony, I thought about why the Lord granted Mary Saul favor. She's back. But what Mary Saul does is Mary Saul has a bridal shop in the city of Tucson. All her proceeds that she makes from her bridal shop is used to bring prostitutes out of prostitution and give them a place to stay. No wonder the Lord went to fight for her. I couldn't wait to get to church this morning. We got in late last night. We were in California. We flew from Sacramento to Denver to Kansas City last night. I couldn't wait. I had a little trouble getting up this morning, though. I had been in meetings all week and near Sacramento, but I'm just so thankful I made it to church, because I had my Starbucks with my triple latte and I'm just fine. But I couldn't wait to unpack what I believe the Lord is saying to the house. How many ever heard this word called the law of first mention? How many have heard that? Raise your hand. A few of you. We use that word in terms in our study what they call hermeneutics. And basically what that means is that when God first mentions a truth, a vision, a dream that God has, he does not change that, even though you and I change. We call that the law of first mention. And I feel like I need to unpack something regarding the law of first mention in just a few moments, but I want to just say this. When you look at the book of Genesis, you see this pattern. God has a goal. That goal has not changed. Even right now in 2019, it has not changed. His entire goal through those 50 chapters is shaping a people like himself. And the reason we're come to church is not because it's tradition. It's because God is looking to shape a people after himself. And what I believe that God is saying prophetically is that he is raising up a people that are going to submit, Meliana, to what God is doing. With that, I think that 1 Peter 2:9, turn there, does the best description of describing the goal of God. And then we'll go over to Genesis in a moment, because here's what it says. It says, but you are a chosen race. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Everybody say a chosen race. Now, here's the interesting thing. When I know that I am chosen, I don't need to worry about being rejected. When I know that I am chosen, I do not need to worry about insecurity. Come on. When I know that I'm chosen, your success is not a threat to me. Come on. Your blessing is not a threat to me because I am chosen by God. When I know that I am chosen, I don't have to be angry. Come on. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be worried about my future because I am chosen by God. And when I know that I am chosen, I don't feel the threat of culture because I'm chosen by God. And when I'm chosen by God, I begin to live differently. When I know that I'm chosen by God, I don't need to be disappointed. Are you hearing me? But when I know that I'm chosen by God, I don't need to have a title to give me identity. When I know that I'm chosen by God, I don't have to go from relationship to relationship to relationship to find out who I am, because I'm chosen by God. Can I hear an amen? You are a chosen race. I love this. You are a royal priesthood. Everybody say a royal priesthood. Now, you have to understand this. When Sean Fite gets up and sings, what is my response? My response is to offer the sacrifice of praise. When I am doing that, I am becoming a priest. So we come here, and I am living according to my royalty because I'm acting as I should be as I'm offering up the fruit of my lips. See, we don't come here just to listen to music. We come here to give God a sacrifice. That is what it means to be a royal priesthood. And so every time you worship God, you are fulfilling your royal mandate. You are becoming princes and princesses. Are you hearing me? Now notice what he says, a holy nation. Everybody say a holy nation. And what I mean by a holy nation is that you're distinctly different from all the people. There's none like you. There's nobody that has the laws like you. There's nobody that thinks like you. You're distinctly different. And I brought you into that nation. Now notice what he says. A people for God's own possession. Oh, I love this. Which means when I said yes to God as he's shaping me, guess what? My possessions don't belong to me. My time does not belong to me. My energy does not belong to me. My money doesn't belong to me. My relationship don't belong to me. My ministry doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And because of that, what is God saying? He is basically saying this. Why does he tell us to do this? So that you may what? Proclaim. Everybody say proclaim. Why do I want you to understand that you are chosen? Why do I want you to understand that you are royal? Why do I want to understand that you are holy? Why do I want to you that you're my possessions? Not so that you could sit in the pew and twiddle your thumbs and text on your iPhone. It's so that you would prophesy. So that you would open your mouth and you would speak my word into existence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many know Kansas City needs the word spoken into existence? How many know our families? We heard a prayer request about a man whose cancer is eating the organs of his body. He is a family member. He's part of this spiritual family. What is my job? My job is to speak against that cancer and say, cancer, you have to leave my brother's organs right now. Are you hearing me? What am I doing? I am prophetically decreeing the will of God. The will of God is not cancer. Right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, to proclaim what? What are we called to proclaim? We're not supposed to proclaim what the cultural narrative is saying. We're not supposed to proclaim what our problems tell us they are. We are supposed to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out, that's the reason, out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now, everybody say marvelous light. Now I want to say this. I don't want just light. I want marvelous light. So what in the world is marvelous light? Marvelous light is a little bit different. Because right now, you know, we could turn off all the lights and it'd get dark in here. But these lights aren't that marvelous. You know what the marvelous light is? It's when you're stuck in Mexico. And the system is so broken, you refuse to lean on it. And you start leaning on his light. And that light breaks into your situation and begins to do something that could never be done. Come on, and do a miracle. Because there are people in this room right now that need miracles. You need God's marvelous light. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need the marvelous light of God to break into your families, break into your church, break into your emotions, break into every area. The marvelous light. I am crying out that the marvelous light would break into our nation. Come on. Because we got light. We've got, have you ever flown into Vegas at nighttime? There's a lot of lights up there, but it's not marvelous, I can tell you that. Are you hearing me? Because the devil can make up light. The devil disguised himself as an angel of light. I don't want that kind of light. I want marvelous light. Because when marvelous light enters in, cancer can't stay there. When marvelous light enters in, depression has to go. When marvelous light breaks in, something begins to break through. See, you got to understand, church, I came here today because I love you so much, but I'm not just looking for an individual breakthrough. I want a corporate breakthrough for this entire church. I want the marvelous light of God to break forth. Because when it breaks forth on everybody in the church, from the back to the front, to the nursery, to the downstairs, to the upstairs. Are you hearing me? From the child to the adults. The marvelous light. How do I know this? This is true. We're talking about the law of first mention this morning. Let me just say this about marvelous light. You know, my wife and I travel all over the country. We live out of a suitcase 365 days a year. We have a home, but we don't live there. We have a car, but we don't drive it. But for the most part, we'll stay, and we're staying here too. We'll stay in a Marriott or a Hilton. But there are some areas in the country that I don't go. That I go that they don't have a Marriott or Hilton in the town or nearby where I'm preaching. Kansas City has a lot of Marriotts, and this particular town we were ministering at, they didn't have a Marriott, they had a Best Western. Now, because I've been on the road so long, sometimes you go to a Best Western, it's really, really nice. But sometimes you go to one that's really, really bad. And so I went to the bad one. Come on. And so we checked in, and the lady gives us the key, and we drive around. It's two stories, and we're on the bottom floor, and I pull into my parking lot, and right next to me in our parking lot, right in the room right adjacent to mine, it is a young man in his late 20s. He's got tattoos all over his face, in his arms. He's smoking a cigarette one after the other, going in and out of his room every 30 seconds. The door slams, he come back, everything. But you know what? I understood something when I pulled in there, that my wife and I sensed this. We sensed this in our spirit, that this young man was in trouble. And when a person is in trouble, they need the marvelous light. Come on. They need marvelous light to break in. They need the light of God to break into their heart. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got the luggage into the room. I jumped in the shower, because I had to go to church in about an hour, and we were about 15 minutes away from the church, and so I got in the shower. I got out, and got ready to go to church, and I didn't see him. He had driven off. And so the next day, though, he's going back and forth, same thing. And I'm ready to go to church to warm up the car. This is a couple of months ago. I'm warming up the car, and we just so happen to walk out of our rooms together. He walked out the same time I did. And I turned to him, and I said, "Young man, I need to pray and prophesy over you right now." Now, church, let me just tell you, when we understand that we carry light, we're not afraid of the darkness that they can. Because if you understand that the marvelous light is resting on you, you don't have to be afraid of the darkness around you. I sensed in my heart, and so did my wife, sensed he was in trouble. And so, and all of a sudden, when I said, "I want to pray and prophesy over you," he tells me something else. He looks at me. He's like got a stunned look on his. His eyes getting watery. And he says, "You know what? You're the first person in this hotel that has asked to pray and prophesy over me, because everybody else called the front desk and complained about me." He said, "I've been here a month. Because my house burned down." I didn't ask him why his house burned down, because his teeth were all rotten. And I know when their person's teeth is all rotten, they've been smoking crack cocaine. And he said, "I've been here a month, and you're the first person who asked me that I need prayer." And so I turn to him, and I begin to pray for him, prophesy over him. Now you got to understand. You know, Meliana is extremely gifted, but it takes her longer to get gifted, as longer in front of the mirror. You know, and she's going, "What does that have to do with the message?" And I've noticed that, you know, that so I've learned this. So she asked me what time the church starts, like I told her today, 9:30 instead of 10. You know, I've learned this, you know. Otherwise, we leave at 10 instead of 9:30. You know, I've learned this in 35 years. And so I get out in the car, you know, because otherwise, if I'm in the room, you know, we'll have intense moments of fellowship, you know. So I just go in the car, and so what I did is I walked out the same way. Now we're late for church, but this young man is in need. He's in need of the marvelous light. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's in need of a revelation. And I pray for him. I prophesy over him. He gets touched. And here comes my wife a few minutes later. And she lays hands on him. She prophesies over him. We hug him. Now let me just tell you. When you hug people that have been smoking, how many know that you have a tendency to smell like what you've been around? And now we invite him to church, and he says, "I really want to come, but I can't because, you know, this is my last night. I'm in the process of going back and forth and things." I said, "Okay." So we walk in, we get in the car, and we literally smell like cigarettes. I said, "Oh, God, what am I going to tell the pastor?" So we walk in church, and sure enough, I hug the pastor, and he kind of looks at me funny. I say, "It's not me, it's my wife." That's what we you know, I'm still dealing with Adam's sin, you know. Anyhow, we have service, we go out to dinner. And by the time we get back to the hotel, it's 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. We pull in. He's out there, the young man. He's standing out there. This is our moment. We walk over to him. We pray for him again. He's got his door of his room, of the hotel room, cracked. And there is his girlfriend sitting on a chair there. And Meliana turns to him and says, "Why don't you have your girlfriend come out?" Girlfriend walks out. She can't say nothing. She just starts weeping. like a waterfall for 30 minutes. She doesn't say nothing. Meliana prays for a prophesied over. We tell him, we know somebody that can put you in the teen challenge right now. Right now, tonight. She said, I don't know. I said, I'm going to pray for you that you're going to go to teen challenge. A week later, I got his number. I called my friend. He sent me a text. He went into teen challenge. Come on and give God a praise. Come on. Why? What happened? The marvelous light broke in to a place of darkness. And I want to say this, the marvelous light wants to break in to Pebble Creek Assembly of God. It wants to break into our lives, that marvelous light. Let me give you an example because you got to see this. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I want you to see this. It says, the earth was without form. Everybody say without form. Now, when we understand that statement alone is packed with revelation. Because what that is saying is that, how many know that when something is formless, it doesn't know what it is? It has no identity. It's without form. It doesn't have a distinction. It doesn't have an identity. It doesn't have a name. We don't know what it is. And that's what happens when a person doesn't know Christ. They are without form. That's why we are dealing with a culture that wants to change their gender. They are without form. We are dealing with situations that happen regarding people's sexuality because they're without form. And this has been in my face, several of people that I have relationships with over the years. The kids went to college, and then this college then changes their mentality. That they lose their identity and they forget their Christian roots. You know, listen, church, you don't need education that bad. I would rather have you keep your salvation and your identity, because if that's what education does, do it online. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And this is an epidemic in our culture. Why? Because our culture is losing its form. So notice the earth is without form. Now notice what it also says. It also says it's void. Everybody say void. Turn to your neighbor, say void. The word void means empty. So if something has no form, doesn't know who it is, there's nothing it can carry. It's empty. Now why did Jesus say this? Jesus said when a devil is cast out of us, that we need to fill ourselves back up, because otherwise it'll come back seven times stronger, right? The evil. Why? Because we're empty. That is why when we come to church, we got to get full. We got to get filled up. We got to get filled as much as we can, because if we can't operate without fuel. Are you hearing me? So it says, without empty, it says, without form and void. Notice this. It says, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So here's the thing. So notice the progression. The progression, it has no form. It is empty. Obviously, there's no light. Now think about this. Right now, our culture and the world is trying to regress back to that. Right? It's trying to go back to Genesis 1-2, back to emptiness, back to formlessness, and back to darkness. Now, I can't let that happen. We can't let that happen, people of God. We can't let that happen in our families. We can't let it happen in our world. We cannot let it happen. So God is not going to sit back and just say, okay, I'm going to let my creation just end up in that condition and regress back. What does he do? I love this. It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Everybody say the Spirit of God was hovering. I love this. How would you like God to hover over Pebble Creek? Hover over your business. Hover over your family. Hover over your grandchildren. Hover over your children. Hover over your spiritual family. Now, when God's hovering, that means he's getting ready to do something. And when I pulled in this parking lot and saw all the cars, you know what I began to think? The Spirit of God is hovering over this place. When Sean got up and sang, as soon as he hit the strum of the guitar and opened his voice, what did we feel? The presence of God began to hover over this house. Come on. And why does he hover? Because he wants to do something. He wants to make that which has no form become have form. He wants to be the person that empty, he wants to fill. The darkness, he wants it to leave. So what does he say, ladies and gentlemen? He begins to prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. What does he say? Let there be light. Everybody say this. Let there be light. You know what that means? Let there be a revelation. Let there be a truth. Let there be a miracle. Oh, come on, church. And this is what we have to do. Why? Now, I can tell you this. The darkness did not, when God said, let there be light, the darkness didn't say, I don't want to leave. That which had no form didn't say, I don't want to take shape. That which was empty said, I don't want what you have. In that light came inside the earth, and that light is still here. Are you hearing me? Now, I want you to see this. In Genesis 2:19, we see something very interesting. Because it says this. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every kind of bird of the sky and brought them to the man. Everybody say, brought them to the man. Now, you have to say, see this. Adam was the first prophet. So what does that tell us about us? What does that tell us about what we are created to do? He said he brought them to the man. He brought the animals to the man. So what God brings to me is a gift. He brought them to the man. He formed them. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Everybody say, to see what he would call them. Now picture this. Now this is Adam who hasn't sinned. This is Adam who hasn't fallen. So what does God do? God creates an animal and then brings them before Adam and then takes a step back and see what Adam would name them. What is Adam doing? What is a name? Everybody say a name. God is not naming the animals. Adam is naming the animals. What is naming? That's prophesying. What is he doing? What Adam is doing is Adam is using his voice to give identity, to give purpose, and to give character. Because you have to understand this. You remember in Genesis that God breathed on Adam and he became a living creature. Remember that? See, we don't see God breathing into the animals. We see God forming them and then bringing them to Adam. But what we see is we see God taking a step back and say, Adam, because I've given you dominion, come on. I'm going to cause you to breathe into those animals. Oh, church, you got to see the point here. I get excited about this. I'm going to preach myself happy anyway. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you got to see this. That means God left the responsibility to what the animals become, not to himself, but God left that responsibility to Adam. Why? How does that apply to my life? Guess what God is doing? God is bringing people that have no form. They have no identity. They have no purpose. They have no character. And what we are to do is we are to breathe the word of the Lord. Oh, come on. We are to breathe life into that situation and say, I'm giving you that name. I'm giving you a name. And so, in other words, what happened at that moment when Adam did that is Adam now is demonstrating his dominion. What happened when we prophesied over that young man? We are demonstrating our dominion over darkness. Come on. We are demonstrating, because listen, if you remember, see, I love the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation in Exodus said that Pharaoh said this, let's keep the people of God from growing. Everybody say, keep the people of God from growing. Ah. You ever notice that? See, because if we keep you from growing, we can control you. If we keep you from growing, and I'm just talking numerically, I'm talking spiritually. Because if you're not growing, you're not healthy. Something is wrong in that picture because God wants everybody to grow. So let's keep them from growing. So let's depress them so that they don't grow. Now, it's interesting to me that they went ahead and submitted to Pharaoh. And for 400 years, they're in slavery. But it wasn't until, you know what broke them in slavery? It wasn't Moses. Moses had a part in it. But it says that when their cry was heard to heaven, in other words, when they opened their mouth and said, God, we are tired of this slavery. God, we are tired. What? Because our voice is the greatest leverage that we have. Oh, church. That's why when I don't want to name my church small, because my church becomes who I prophesy it to be. My kids become who I prophesy it to be. My country becomes who I prophesy it to be. And I don't want to call a name to my pastor. I don't want to call a name to my worship leader. I don't want to call a name to my wife. I want to call them what God would call them to be. Can I hear an amen? And because of that, what takes place is Adam is then taking on his dominion by calling forth for what they should be. And God is saying, I give you permission to do that. I love this. Then he says, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. Everybody say, whatever you call them, that's what they are. My country is what I prophesied it. We're God's people. You know what's amazing to me? I get blessed every time I come here. Because there's a lady that keeps walking up to that organ every Sunday. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because regardless of age, regardless of physical limitations, guess what? That's her place. Come on. Are you hearing what? She heard the call of God. That's your place, daughter. And let me just say this. See, God, whatever, it didn't say whatever God called him. It said whatever Adam called them. That's what their name. So think about this, Adam and Eve. What you say is going to determine what they become. And so I have this passion in my heart to say, you know what? If I want a good marriage, I'm going to prophesy a good marriage. If I want health, I'm going to prophesy health into my head. Are you hearing me? Now, that doesn't mean that I may get a diagnosis that is opposite, but guess what? I am not going to agree with the diagnosis because I'm carrying the light of God inside my being. And because the light of God is inside my being, guess what? Revival's coming to America. A move of God is coming to America. Reformation is coming to America. Healing is going to come to America. You know, I want to tell you something crazy. So Good Friday was last week. So Melian and I, you know, I have this. See, I go to Lithuania every year. I'm going again in July, July 1st to July 10th, 10 days. And this year, I purchased 8 tickets to Lithuania. Well, if you do the math, that's several thousand dollars. It's about $12,000 right there. And that doesn't include the lodging. And that doesn't include me giving an offering to the other the three other couples that are coming with me. And so we figured out that the whole trip was going to cost us $20,000 for 10 days. That's a lot of money. Now, why would you do that? Because there's a nation that doesn't know its name. There are people that do not know its purpose. And they have been brought to my doorstep. Come on. They have no character. They've lost their character. And what they need is a word to tell them who they are. Come on. Because without a word from God, we don't know who we are. And so here, my wife had just purchased all the tickets. And let me just tell you, that's a lot of money. So on Friday night, I'm up here preaching and I'm prophesying and decreeing. And then we get a text. I get a text on my phone. I can't read it. I'm preaching. She gets the text. She looks at the text. And guess what? A lady deposited $20,000 in my ministry account while I was preaching. Now, church, what does that happen? That's because we are decreeing in the atmosphere. Come on, church. We are going to call forth those things that are not as though they were. We're going to make a decision, Meliana, decree a thing, and the light of God's favor is going to shine on our ways. Come on. And God is saying, I've already made a decision. I put you on this earth, and I brought the animals to you. Now, church, I want you to see this in a parable. God's bringing people here. God's bringing people to this church. God is bringing people into this church that do not know their name. That's why you need to not be threatened by groups that don't know who they are. You don't need to be threatened by a gang member. The young man was a gang member. He didn't know his name. Now he knows his name. Come on. What happened? God brought him to my path, and I decided, you know what? You're not going to be a drug addict. You're not, because you were somebody's mother. You were once a toddler. You did not always smoke crack all your life. You need to become who God decreed you to become. And that's exactly what God did. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason we would do something like that is that Lithuania has been occupied by Russia up until 1991. And when Russia pulled out, they shot a whole bunch of people in the middle of the city square as they left. They have been, before that, they were occupied by Nazi Germany. They have had their culture stripped. There's only 5,000 evangelicals in a nation of 3 million people in the whole nation. There is no Bible school. There is no Assembly of God missionary in the whole nation. It's Eastern Europe. They don't. They make equivalent of about $400 to $500 a month is the average salary of in that country. It's not a rich country, but you know what? God has bring things to us. Come on. Now, God may not call you to Lithuania, but God may bring something that doesn't know what it is. Come on. If you remember this, notice this. See, if you understand the law first mentioned, the Genesis story, ladies and gentlemen, you'll understand that after God, Adam named the animals, and that's what they become. A giraffe became a giraffe. An elephant became an elephant. They took on those characteristics. They just had a form, but when they spoke, it gave them identity, purpose, and character. Now, I want you to hear this. God put Adam to sleep. He took a rib out of Adam, and he made woman. Who called her woman? Adam, right? So notice this. Adam, God breathed into Adam. What did Adam do to Eve? Adam breathed into Eve. Oh, hear me. Because here's the thing. My responsibility to my wife is to breathe life into her. Come on, to speak life into her, to speak hope into her. So listen, we're the church. What are we called to do? But breathe life into the bride of Christ. Oh, Are you hearing what I'm saying? To speak life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I'm crying out even right now saying, oh God, raise up a country. Raise up a church. How many have things that are filled of darkness in your life? How many have friends and that are void and empty this morning? Come on. How many have people that you know that do not know their name, know their identity, don't know, have character or purpose? How many know people like that? And you know what? It's easy for me to stand back and say, oh, just let them live that way. I cannot let them live that way. I cannot let that happen. You know why? Because God's brought them to me. And what God brings to me is a gift. Marvelous light. How many know we need marvelous light? How many know we need marvelous light? Lift your hands toward heaven right now. Father, we love you. Father, we adore you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we ask you that you would release marvelous light into Pebble Creek Assembly of God. Marvelous light into the leadership. Marvelous light into this church. Marvelous light into our nursery. Marvelous light from the babies to the oldest. Breathe your marvelous light into the situation and understand that we have the power to proclaim right now and to use our voice as our greatest leverage in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Can we give God a shout of praise right now? Sir, you're all the way in the back. You just give me a amen all the way in the back. I want you to stand up right. I'm looking right at you, sir. All the way in the back. No, right behind. Yes, sir. Could you stand up? Could you come forward, please? Make your way up here. You, sir. You, sir, that's standing. Yes. He already prophesied over me today. You can stop right there, sir. If I could get one of the ushers to stand behind him, I'd greatly appreciate it. Lift your hands toward heaven, sir. God brought you here today to tell you. If there's anybody in this room that needs this word right now, it's you. Because there were some unanswered questions of why this person was sick. Why did this relationship happen? Why? I'm serving you. I'm giving to you. I'm loving you. I'm adoring you. And the Lord said, darkness is not the end of the story. Light is the end of the story. And I'm going to put the light of my revelation on you. Because you have had to deal with heightened degree of spiritual warfare in these last 2 years. Actually, it's been 2.5 since late 16. And the Lord says that warfare is over. The Lord says that I am doing a miracle right now in your midst. The Lord says that you are going to walk into the room that is filled with darkness, filled with lack of faith, filled with doubt, and you are going to speak my word in my mind. And the Lord says, you've been asking me, God, is my heart right? Is my motives right? Let me just tell you, when you crossed over and gave your life to Christ many years ago, I'm here to tell you that the curse of Adam has been broken. And now you stand in the position of Adam was before the fall. You stand in that position with the blood of Jesus over you. And that's why I am giving your family a new identity. I'm giving your kids a new identity. I'm giving your cousins a new identity. Why? Because you're going to give them purpose, character, and hope, says the Lord. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. And the Lord says that even right now, son, there has been places where the enemy has tried to attack the family physically. There has been heightened physical things that have happened, medical bills, things that have come up, things that they said would not be paid. The Lord says that I am going to do a miracle for you, that you're going to be out of debt on pennies on the dollar. The Lord says that there is going to be supernatural provision for every need that you have. Father, thank you right now in Jesus' name. Give God a shout of praise right now. Give God a shout of praise. Give God a shout of praise. I want to ask a question. Is there someone here? I just felt this in my spirit. We're gonna sow into this word in a moment. But there's someone in the spirit that you have a growth on your body. There's some kind of a cyst on your body that you need God to dissolve. Where are you? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Come here, ma'am. Come here, ma'am. Come here, ma'am. Spirit of God is in this room right now. Lift your hands. I'm going to need Asher, please, to stand behind her. When I snap my fingers, see, you have so much courage. You were not just baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You were baptized with courage. Because courage says no to a distorted reality. Because you live in the reality of God's marvelous light. And because you live in the reality of God's marvelous light, the light is going to break in every moment of your day. I saw this in my spirit. I saw two people walk through your door and sit down, and they began to unpack some of their struggles and become vulnerable because they could trust you with information that they couldn't trust even close family members, because they knew the close family members would curse them, would push them aside, would yell at them. But they knew they could trust you, that you would be the kind of mother that would begin to show them how they can begin to have victory and how they can have success. And the Lord says, I am bringing people to your living room who are so discouraged, but by the time they leave your home, they will have hope burning on the inside of their heart, says the Lord. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Put your hand on her side right there, honey. Put your hand right here. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we thank the Lord right now? Can we thank the Lord right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now I want to ask you a question. How many want to give the culture a right identity? Come on. How many want to rename things and because so they become what they are supposed to be? The addict becomes a preacher. Come on. The mother who has abandoned their children become a great mother. It's by our voice. Our voice, ladies and gentlemen. How many have needs right now that you need God to speak into your situation right now? My brother, would you come up here? Would you come up here? Would you come up here? What's your name? Gary. Gary, I'm gonna hold the mic, and I want you to do something, Gary. I want you to decree in the atmosphere what you were believing God to do for you.
To make me the warrior that I used to be. To go out and prophesy in Jesus' name. Be a warrior in God's kingdom. Not only to my country, to my city, but to my family. In Jesus' name.
Stretch forth your hands to Brother Gary. Come on, stretch forth your hands to Brother Gary right now. We need warriors. We need warriors. We need warriors. We need warriors. Father, in the name of Jesus, we decree that this warrior who has stood upon this altar right now, who is standing decreeing the Lord, is prophesying right now, that those sitting in this room right now who have chosen to just go to church for tradition, to choosing to just live life and not become that warrior that they're called to be, and just deal with life, deal with the narrative, instead of realizing we are called to prophesy into existence just as Adam. Father, I pray for the anointing of that which is it will be called that goal of God, the law first mentioned, to fall on Brother Gary right now. Gary, I'm going to tell you this right now. The Spirit of the Lord is not done with you. The Spirit of the Lord says that when there was a moment in your life in your 50s, you were in your early 50s, and what had happened was things just got messed up. Things got messed up religiously. Things got messed up relationally. Things got messed up economically. But the Lord was hovering over you all those years. And all of a sudden, he put things in order. And when he put things in order, he put you in order. And the Lord says that because he's put you in order, he is calling you to go into places that are absolutely a mess and bring order where there is no order. To bring order into the chaos, order into the void. And the Lord says that what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your hands, I'm going to take your life, and there's going to be people that have come out of your past who have lost things, but you are going to speak and prophesy over people you went to school with, people that you grew up with, people in your childhood, and they are literally going to come back to life, says the Lord. Touch him right now in Jesus' name, never to be the same again. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sow into this word. I'm going to give the mic to Pastor JC, and then I'm going to come right back, and we're going to respond to this word, because people's bodies are going to get healed right now. How many need healing in your body? How many need healing in your body? Raise your hand. I need healing. I need healing. Ma'am, stand up, please. You need a breakthrough. Not only do you need a breakthrough in your body, you need a breakthrough in your mind. Is that your mom? Your sister? She is so young. I'm sorry. You stand up. Put your hand on your sister's forehead. Daughter, the enemy has tried to get you overwhelmed with the present and overwhelmed with the future. But I'm here to tell you, says the Lord, that I'm going to take care of you in ways you can't even imagine. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to give you the best care. I'm going to give you the best word. I'm going to give you the best clothes. I'm going to give you the best comfort, simply because I know that you have sacrificed for others. And because you have sacrificed for others, now I'm going to show you. It's called the law of reciprocity. And what the Lord says this to you, you are going to get a reward bigger than you could imagine, daughter. And the Lord is strengthening your hips right now. He's strengthening your knees right now. The knees that were feeble are not feeble anymore, says the Lord. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. We want to bless the Harkies. We want to bless them. We do want to sow into their ministry, and that enables them to go all over the world. We know ultimately God is the provider, but I believe he uses us. Obviously, we support so many missionaries and other things. It's just an honor to be able to support people that are doing what God has called them to do. So I'm going to ask you if you'd like to make a check out this morning. Just make it out to Pebble Creek. And every dollar that is raised, that is given this morning, is going to go into their ministry. Would those ushers come forward that's going to help with that, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for raising up people that walk according to your will, that do what you've called them to do, Lord, and they're not distracted by what the world says. They're only interested in what you say. And I just pray, God, that right now as we give towards this ministry, that Lord, that you would take this offering and you would multiply it, that you would bless it and use it as you use John and Meliana, as you use them to encourage your church and help establish your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless your giving.
As the ushers are going up and down the road, you know, Sean, will you and your wife stand up, please, because I want to pray over you, because you were always serving. How many appreciate them serving this body faithfully? Meliana, would you come and help me?
Thank Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I was actually praying for you this morning when I woke up, and I heard the Lord say, because you have walked above a fence, because you have not let life, people, situations deter you, there is going to be great expansion in 2019. Because you have served my purpose, because you have become that royal priesthood, both of you, juggling family, business, the house of God, and remain consistent year in and year out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the biggest contract you've ever gotten. That the competitors that attempt to undermine you, they will not win. I'm your vindicator, says the Lord. And Sean, I heard the Lord say this. Because you decided to just wait on me. Because sometimes there is a problem in the church. People refuse to wait on God for justice, for vindication. But because you have waited on me year in and year out, the Bible says that those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall mount up. And they shall become like eagles on eagles' wings. And I saw a picture in my mind's eye. I saw a t-shirt. I know you guys do t-shirts. I saw a t-shirt of a picture of an eagle. And the Lord says, tell my son and daughter that this is a year where they will soar like never before. And those that do not want to soar, they are not to grow weary about those who do not want to soar. Because there are others that want to fly with you. But there are also others that want you to carry them while you are flying. And you can only carry them so long. You can only carry them so long. Some, they need to learn to fly themselves. But daughter, there's something in your soul because of your compassion and your empathy that you refuse to even drop anybody. And at times you wanted to. And the Lord says that I am giving you permission to drop some things because I will take care of that. But I want you to soar higher, says the Lord, and alongside your husband. And the Lord says that I'm going to cause your kids to soar like never before. I'm calling your daughter to soar like never before. This is going to be a year where she really becomes who she knows who she is. She knows her identity. She knows her purpose. But there is a passion. There is a drivenness, a drive inside her that nobody is going to be able to pull away. That's why you guys can't talk at her out of it, because she's determined. And yes, there are moments at times where she is very, very stubborn. But I have made her that way, says the Lord, because she will soar with you, says the Lord. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on and give God a praise right now. Thank him, thank him, thank him in the room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I need the worship team to make their way up. I want everybody to stand all over the room right now. All over the room, all over this room right now. There is an anointing in this room. How many need things to change? How many today need the marvelous light to break into situation? I need the marvelous light to break in. Ma'am, right behind you, Angela. Can you come here, ma'am? Yes, yes. Angela, could you come and lay your hand on our sister? Just turn and face me. I just sense this in my spirit. But there has been those that have attempted to manipulate, coerce, humiliate. But what God is doing right now is he's coming to your rescue. Because he's coming to your rescue. Because it was about 6 months ago. So you're talking about November, December. There was just things that hit you. It was like a head-on crash. Things got dented. It wasn't your fault. You got blamed for things. And the Lord says that I'm going to prove that you were not guilty. I am going to stand up for you. I'm going to wave the banner of freedom over you. And what God is going to do is you are going to be a gatherer. You are going to be a gatherer. You're going to gather my sons and daughters. Who have been hit by life, who have been placed in the place where they've been in accidents, both emotional, physically, and spiritually. But the Lord says, because I'm going to, it's like I saw a vehicle that was totaled, but I saw the Lord put it in his body shop and begin to reform it, reshape it, and remake it, repaint it, and it's as if it's brand new. It's a representation of what God is doing in your life. And the Lord says that what I'm going to do with that vehicle is I'm going to fill it full of souls who thought that their life had crashed. Their future had crashed. Their present was crashed. And there was no opportunity to rebuild and renew. But you are going to put them in the vehicle. And the vehicle is going to be evidence that God is still working and God is still moving at this hour. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You better thank him. You better thank him. You better thank him. You better thank him. How many need God to break in your darkness? How many God need to break in the darkness? You better celebrate with her. Hallelujah. 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 On the count of three, if you're in this room right now, you need God to break into the darkness with his marvelous light. Let me just say this. God brought those animals, Meliana, to Adam and let Adam, I want you to break in with light on that which doesn't know what it is. I'm going to tell you the light of the prophetic word is going to break into Pebble Creek this week. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you. Young man, I want you to come here. I want you to come here. I want you to stand right next to me. You know, when I saw this young man, when I turned around in the greeting time and I shook his hand, Spirit of God spoke to me. Spirit of God showed me a picture that when he was just a little guy, like 3 or 4, a little toddler, like my granddaughter, Mahina. That he went through horrific, horrific abuse and mistreatment. But God brought him here today. God brought him here today because he's here in this church. And this church is going to give him a new name. Thank you. A name that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And give him identity, hope, and purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know this guy? He's going to go to college. He's going to read like he's never read before. Comprehension is going to come on him like never before. Because he is a man of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What just happened? Point your hand to him. Stretch forth your hands to him. What's your name, young man? Luke. Oh, yes, Luke. Luke. You're shaking. Luke. The fear of failure has left you. God says, I will not let you fail. Touch Luke right now. Touch Luke right now. I want some of his friends to come over here. Come over, come over here. Come over, Mr. Ben. Come over here. Come over here, guys. Real quick. We're not going to let Luke fail. We're going to not let Luke fail. We're not going to let Luke fail. We're not going to let Luke go into alcoholism. We're not going to let Luke get addicted. We're not going to let Luke fall into the trap of bondage. We're not going to let Luke, because the marvelous light's going to surround Luke. Luke is going to rise up. Luke is going to go on a mission trip. Luke is going to change nations. Luke. Luke, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say this. It's crazy. There's going to be a day when you're going to serve missionaries. You're going to serve in the mission field, son. Because you are a servant. See, they put my name everywhere, but they're going to put your name in heaven. Because the things you do doesn't go in the lights, doesn't go in front of a church building or in a bulletin, but it goes up in heaven. Because, Luke, you're not going to bury your talent, because the people around you who have their hands on you are not going to let you bury your talent. They're going to cause your talent to come to surface. And when I saw you, I felt so much empathy for you, Luke. And to tell you right now that the Lord is going to Lord put resources like he's put resources in my ministry. He's going to do the same for you, Luke. Because you love him. You love him. Lift your hands to the Lord, Luke. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, he will never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. Oh, come on and thank the Lord. Come on and thank the Lord. Come on and thank the Lord right now. If you want God to break in with marvelous light, on the count of three, I want you to run to this altar. 1, 2, 3. Come right now. Come right now. Go ahead, Sean.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, light of the world, you step down into darkness. You opened my eyes and let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Just worship him for a second.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Break in, God.
You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Yes. Would this mother come? I need some of the ladies in the church just to come and gather around her, please. Gather around her. When you were up there holding, this is your little son. Oh, this is awesome, bro. When you were standing there, the Lord brought me back to a picture in your past. And he began to tell me, my daughter is trying to undo something that I've already forgiven her from. And today, the weight of regret has left you. Because the marvelous light has broken in, not just on our present and future, but upon our past. Because this is what you've been dealing with, an emotion on your emotions, put her hand on your heart, is that you felt, I've got to measure up, because I felt short. When I was in my late teens, I fell short in my late teens. And I've got to always measure up. The Lord says, I didn't come to rescue you because you measured up. I rescued you because whether you measured up or not, you have value. And the value of your heart is worth me pursuing you, says the Lord. And whether you measure up to the standards of where other people or culture, that's not the issue. Because I'm the one that calls the shot, says the Lord. I'm the one that sets the standard. Not culture, I do. And I'm going to tell you right now, there were moments where you would go, God, I can't handle this weight anymore. It's just too much. And what happened, the way you responded, you would just pull back. You would pull back and isolate yourself. And the Lord says, you are around the family of God, but you are now whole. And you will never have to isolate yourself again. Because that guilt you are not carrying, and it will not pass on to your children. You've had battles, and there are always battles. We're never battle free. But the Lord says, now you will look with different set of lenses. You will not let people put their guilt on you. You will not let people maneuver their ways on you. Back you in a corner again, because you know who you are. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her with your fire. Touch her with your fire. Touch her with the fire of your love and your grace right now in the name of Jesus. Come on and let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's worship him.
I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know.
We love you, God.
How much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful. Wonderful for me. Altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy, Lord. Altogether wonderful to me.
I want everyone to put your hand on your heart. I want you to say this after me. Lord God, because I'm made in your image and in your likeness, like Adam in Genesis 2, before the fall, what you bring me, which you set before me, I'm called to prophesy to you. To give identity. To give purpose. And to give character. And Lord, right now, I take my dominion. I will demonstrate what you have given me. That your marvelous light breaks in to what you bring me. Whatever it is, that your marvelous light comes out of my mouth into places of darkness in the name of Jesus. Now put your hand on your mouth. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, take a coal from your altar, Lord, and place it on the lips of your servants so that when we speak, the oracles of God come out of our mouth. The purposes of God come out of our mouth. We thank you for what you've done this morning. We thank you that from now on, our voice is our greatest leverage. We use our leverage, our voice. Because when we use our voice, you step in. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, I just want you to hold your hands out. If you need healing in your body, put your hand on your heart, please. I need healing in my body. Now, those of you that do not have your hand on your heart, would you find somebody that does and go over and use your voice? Would you go over and use your voice and use your hand and just pray over them right now and pray healing over them right now? Someone, I need someone to pray for Brother Rocky. And, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke, can you come help me? Luke, come and lay a hand on Brother Rocky there. Hallelujah. Father, we speak life. We speak wholeness. We speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your sons and your daughters. We thank you for the power of grace in this room. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, when I lay hands on your daughter, she will never be the same again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor JC.
Hallelujah, indeed. Thank you, God Almighty. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We are a grateful people. Father, we pray, God, that as we go from here today, Lord, that we're not just people that came just to hear the word, but that we're people that are going to put that word into practice. We're going to be doers of that word. We're going to stand on the words that we heard today. We're going to use the faith that you've given us to walk in the truth of your word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that tonight, Lord, that you would draw people, Lord. Draw people. Help us, Lord. Invite everyone that we come into contact with, Lord, to come. Come and see that the Lord is good. Come and taste what he would have for you. Lord, I pray, God, for every person here that you would continue pouring your blessings into them so that they can be a blessing wherever they go this afternoon. But I do pray they all return back here in anticipation again of what you're going to do, how you're going to move, ministering to people, God. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting week, Lord, where we focus on you, where we praise you, where we come and we just are excited to be in your presence as we press in even more than we've ever done before. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
To worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Yeah.